The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 6th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day. Leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven, for that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. But I say to you who are listening, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who asks of you. And if anyone takes away what is yours, do not ask for it back again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Christ. I invite you to be seated. In the Reformation, Martin Luther metaphorically reached up into heaven and pulled it down on earth. He moved life in the reign of God from pie in the sky by and by expectations to a very present reality. Now, at the time, life in the reign of God was reward for living rightly now. Heaven and its inhabitants existed somewhere out there, both in time and in space, a place of light and abundance, peace. It was clean and bright. And this was understandable in the midst of the Middle Ages, where between disease, poverty, and war, life could indeed be nasty, brutish, and short. But what Luther discovered in Scripture opened his eyes to a life and a world-altering reality. The reign of God is ours now. In fact, we entered the reign of God as beloved children in and through our baptism. That claim God made on us, in which God gave each of us a share of our inheritance as God's children. That inheritance is citizenship in the reign of God, and it happened as soon as we got wet. Now, Luther found this many places in Scripture as he was working to translate the text into German so that more people could read it, as he worked not only in the Latin, but also in the original texts in their languages, Greek and Hebrew, translating them with care. One of the places that we can see this is in Jesus' Sermon on the Plain in our reading from Luke today. The language Jesus uses in his declarations of blessings is performative speech. Jesus' word creates the reality that he is announcing. So the word that is Jesus does what that word proclaims. If you are poor, the language means utterly destitute, and the language is now. The reign of God is yours, and it's not a future promise. The Greek says the reign of God is yours now, today. And this means also that the hungry now will be filled, that those who weep now will laugh. Those who are denounced, excluded, reviled, defamed because they follow Jesus, they will rejoice and leap for joy because their recompense will be great. But the amazing thing is that promise at the beginning. The reign of God is yours now. The things Jesus comes to do in the Gospel of Luke happen now, today. There is healing today. Welcome today. Forgiveness today. Release from all that binds you today. The completion of that lies in the future, but, and this is what Martin Luther understood so well, the community of God's people is called to live today in this reign of God pattern of living that Jesus presents here. Why? Well, because in baptism we are already living in the reign of God. We are just to be what we already are. Citizens of God's reign. And not only was the reign of God pulled down from heaven, but so were the saints. Now at the time, it was particular martyrs, those who had been killed in the persecutions of the Roman Empire because of their faith in Christ. These were the ones who were venerated as saints. Those who were obviously more holy and faithful than the rest of us. Who the mass of believers at the time had turned to in prayer to intercede on their behalf with God. But Martin Luther had another incredible insight. That we are all saints. That even as we have entered into the reign of God now, we are saints. As pure and holy as anyone that they had been praying to. And that what made someone a saint was not what they had done, because, well, I don't know about you, I look at myself and know, yeah, it sure ain't that. What made someone a saint was not what they had done, but who God declared them to be. Because, as we see in Genesis, God's word creates reality. And that in our baptism, God has made us, as Psalm 8 says, a little lower than the angels. And this is why, as Pastor Nadia Bowles Weber puts it, we don't celebrate some saints Sunday. We celebrate all saints Sunday. We celebrate all on whom God has acted in baptism, sealing them, as Ephesians says, with the promised Holy Spirit. We celebrate that the reign of God is present on earth here, in and through us and this assembly, even as it is through our siblings in Christ at First Presbyterian Church near Ely, or Shuiville Church, or the Mwanga Parish in Tanzania. And we remember that the church is not just what exists here on the corner of Walker and Raleigh, but that it has outposts across our state, across our country, and across the world. And so we celebrate today the saints who have come before us. All those who have been raised in the faith and are now part of that great cloud of witnesses who surrounds us and who joins us right now in our worship. My Nana, Beatrice Ewald, my mother Jean, my father Jim, and so many more, the ones who are popping into your head right now. We celebrate the saints who were the face of the church and at times Jesus for us. You know the ones. Ed Mars at St. Mark's in Charlotte, who was the face of a well-run church service for me. And all those others who are popping into your head right now. We celebrate their faithfulness, their witness, their example. An example that a life of faithfulness to God, of witness to the good news of God in Jesus Christ, is not just being like, I don't know, Willie Ray Farley from Willie's Barbecue, Willie Ray's Q Shack. Who's gone to so many places of disaster and fed so many hungry people. But that the life of faithfulness can also be found in farming the land responsibly. Raising our children with dignity and respect. giving our employers an honest and fair day's work for our wage. That in our daily living as citizens of the reign of God, we please God and do God's work in the world in the ordinary. And even as we are freed by this revelation that in and through us the reign of God can be on earth as it is in heaven, I don't know about you, but I am moved to wonder. Wonder. What would it mean if faith communities truly witnessed to and became a means of God's blessing? God's provision for the poor who are in so desperate need. For those who mourn inconsolably for what they have lost. For those who have received hatred, exclusion, mockery, and infamy as they have striven to live as Jesus lived. What would it mean if we as the beloved saints of God engaged fully in Jesus' radical call to love even our enemies, those who are openly hostile to us and who wish to do us harm, who hate us, who curse our name, who threaten us? What would it mean if we took to heart that string of imperative words, those commands, those words that make a demand on our will that occur in verse 31, love with God's other-centered agape love. Do good, even to those who seek you harm. Bless, speak well of those who do not speak well of you. Pray, offer your other cheek. Don't withhold even your shirt. Give. Don't ask for the return of what is yours. Do. Do to others what you would want them to do to you. What would it mean if we were inspired by those saints across the centuries who have dared to love their enemies, even at great personal cost? Inspired by Jesus on the cross, who looked down and prayed, O Father, forgive them. They do not know what they are doing. People like black musician Darryl Davis, who met with and forgave members of the Ku Klux Klan, such that he has collected over his lifetime approximately 25 KKK robes presented to him by those who have left the Klan after getting to know him. People like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who strove to overcome Jim Crow and the racism of the South, not by seeking to defeat or humiliate their opponent, but to win their friendship and understanding. Who strove not only to avoid external physical violence, but the internal violence of the spirit, a refusal not only to not shoot your opponent, but also a refusal to hate them. Who believe that this love we are called to seeks to both preserve and create community. Who looked with eighth commandment eyes upon those who beat him, sought to firebomb his house, and he saw in them people just as trapped by racism and injustice as he was. Who saw those created in the image of God, and he had compassion on them. Even as they strove to defeat and, yes, even kill him. What would it mean for our community of Ely and for our nation if we, together, inspired by all the saints who have come before us, strove to love both our neighbors and our enemies in this same other-centered, self-sacrificial way? Can you imagine? The communion of saints that we give thanks for today, this intimate unity we share through Christ with one another, including those who have finished their race, all of that creates a community, a new social reality, and one that is kind of odd to those who are on the outside looking in. Because its values do not match that of the reign of the world, which says to strive for happiness, fullness, and material and experiential riches now. That's the goal of life. A church community that does not conform to the logic of cost-benefit analysis of what good does it do to me or us, but which always asks, how can I help my neighbor? If anyone asks of you, give it, Jesus says. But here's the other thing we never forget about this community of saints. And Luther reminds us of this too. We are also sinners, aren't we? Every one of us. We are messy and mixed up and imperfect people. And it is only through the grace and mercy of God that we can even begin to strive to be an outpost of the reign of God here on earth. And it is only because of God through Jesus and in the waters of baptisms which calls us, each of us, into a new existence where God's generosity extends to all people. A generosity that creates a culture formed and sustained by the mercy and grace of God, not by us. Formed and sustained by the washing of baptism that we dip into each day, renewing our baptism just as we had some of our ninth graders renew, affirm their baptism last week. Every day we can dip again into those waters, renew our baptismal promises, and by God's word read and proclaimed, and by the meal that is Christ's own body and blood, all of this sustains and renews us sinners in this beloved community, as Martin Luther King Jr. called it. And all of this is freely given by God's grace and mercy, so that we and all the saints might be what we are already, an outpost of the reign of God here on earth now. Thanks be to God.